Hey, yeah, let me hear that. Merry Christmas. All right. Well, we're celebrating Advent now. Advent is the time where our anticipation or looking forward to the presence of Christ. And I'm going to be preaching on the scripture that's going to be read. And I've invited Dante and Christine to come and read this scripture with us. Or for us. So today we're going to look at the story of Mary and Mary's life. And so would you welcome Dante and Christine for this Advent reading? Oh, and a sleeping baby.
In the sixth month, that is from the time of John's conception.
Sorry.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
"How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
You guys.
Thanks.
Wow. Love is here. Love is here. I hope you saw the big letters as you drove in to the church today declaring that message. Love is here. And then drawn on the wall out there, love is here. Well, at Christmas time, we especially rejoice over that phrase, that love is here, and that we are participants in God's love, recipients of it, and people that also share it with others. And so today I want to talk about the goodness of God's love and of giving his love. I mean, at this time of the year, I think we naturally think of ways to give, don't we? I mean, we think of ways in which we can share God's love or just share our love for one another in really tangible ways. And I want to thank you, before we dig into the message, I just want to thank you for being a generous church. I mean, for those of you that brought a bag back from last Sunday's call to help support our partner ministries, thank you. We had so many bags that they were crowded around the Christmas tree out there. They blocked the hallway, so we had to do load after load out of the lobby and into the office area, so much so you can't even walk in the office area. So thank you for your generosity in that. I just appreciate it. Man, God is good. And if you haven't brought your bag back, or if you want to participate in that, next Sunday is the Sunday to do that. We want to take, after that Sunday, we want to gather everything up and then distribute it to our partners. And so that's a great way to give. So thank you for being a generous church. Another great way to give is to help those in need. And I was in my small group this past week, and Conrad, who's down front here, is one of the small group members, and he shared about a family at his school. He works at East Norriton Middle School, who is in a really difficult place. In fact, they had very little to begin with, but they were out of their home, and their home was robbed and ransacked. Everything was gone. So much so that they didn't have a bank account, but they had cash on hand in the house. That was gone. The kids don't have clothes. And so they're scrambling for any help they can get. And Conrad wanted to bring that before the church. And there's actually a couple families in his school that are struggling. So if you're interested in expressing God's love in a tangible way to those families, to those children, just mark your response card and we'll connect you guys up. I'm not sure exactly all the needs and how you can connect with them, but if you want to do something, just mark your response card. We'll connect you with that. Another great way to give is that in our lobby, we have community table set up with child sponsorship opportunities. And maybe that's something your family would like to do this Christmas, would be to rally around a young woman and sponsor her so she can go to school and have an opportunity for her life. What a great gift to give this Christmas. And so that's an opportunity. Also, as a church, I want to encourage you in your giving through your tithes and offerings. In fact, if you're new to Storehouse, you might find out or you'll realize that we don't talk a lot about money around here. And in fact, we don't pass an offering plate at Storehouse Church. I mean, most churches do. And whenever I talk to pastors and say we don't, they say, "You're crazy. What are you doing?" You know, and I say, "Well, I just trust God, and I believe as believers mature that they'll choose to honor God with their giving, and we don't have to put a bucket in front of people to remind them of that." And so we've done that for a number of years now, and in fact, since our church began, we've worshiped that way. And we don't talk a lot about money except twice a year at Christmas. And at Easter, we challenge the members of our church, those that gather here, call Storehouse their home, to give a Christmas offering and an Easter offering above and beyond your normal tithes and offerings. And so there's a card in your program that can give you ways to give. You can give electronically. You can log right on in your phone right now and do that, or other ways to give as well, like through the offering boxes and such. But I would encourage everybody to pray about a generous Christmas offering above and beyond what you normally give, a way to honor Jesus on his birthday. My Christmas challenge is that you give as much to Jesus as you're giving to others this Christmas time, and so you could pray about that. Another way to give is also found in your response card. There's a card in there. In fact, pull out the card that says, "Love is here." Pull it out. Pull it out. This card is not for you. It's not for you. It's for you to give to someone else. You're already here, but I put that card in there so that you have something to give to someone else to invite them to experience the power, the hope, the joy that you have experienced. And so don't lose that card in the bottom of your purse or tuck it in your Bible as a bookmark. Don't forget about it. Keep it near yourself. And so when you see someone and God prompts you, the Holy Spirit prompts you, give it to them. Use it as an invitation. Next Sunday will be a great Sunday for that invitation. We're bringing in guest musicians. It's going to be a powerful, powerful morning of worship, and I'll be sharing some from God's Word on that Sunday as well. So use that card during the Christmas time to invite someone to experience the love of Christ, the presence of Christ. And so I'm just believing that God's going to use you to move in generous ways this Christmas. So let me jump into God's Word with you now. We're going to look at this passage in Luke chapter 1 that talks about the Holy Spirit that has fallen upon Mary, that came upon Mary. Now, when we think of Christmas time, we think of a different spirit, don't we? We often think of the Christmas spirit, right? The Christmas spirit. Now, what is the Christmas spirit? The Christmas spirit is this general mood or feeling that we have in society at this time of year that brings us towards peace and love, where families gather together. We go out of our way to give to one another. We throw parties. There's a general positive thing associated with the Christmas spirit. The Christmas spirit is a good thing. In fact, we love the Christmas spirit. It's weird. As soon as the calendar turns and we roll into the days of December, the Christmas spirit seems to descend upon us, doesn't it? You've experienced it even in your workplace and other places. You've experienced the Christmas spirit. There's no better example of that than in the age-old story, true story from World War I. When the British were entrenched and the Germans were entrenched, and it was on Christmas Eve. And I have a photo of what took place on that Christmas Eve. From one of the British trenches, a loud tenor voice began to sing, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then from the German side, the same song floated up into the cool, crisp, moonlit air, but this time sung in German. And in the midst of a war, in the midst of a battlefield, the Christmas spirit arrived. And out of the trenches that were dug and dirty and painful, men crawled out and moved into this no man's land, sang around bonfires, drank tea, some grabbed a ball and played soccer, and it was like they were just brothers together celebrating the Christmas spirit. The problem with the Christmas spirit is that it always only brings a truce, not lasting peace. It's here for a while, but then it goes away. So what happened in this story, this fame story, the next morning, they climbed back into the trenches, pulled out the machine guns, the carnage began again, bayonets began flying, and the fight was on. Everything went back to normal. And that's what happens with the Christmas spirit. It brings a truce, but not lasting peace. I want to teach you today about the lasting peace, not from the Christmas spirit, but from the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is what Mary experienced on that day when she met the angel Gabriel. Let me just turn to a few verses here. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words. And you would be too, wouldn't you? I mean, all of a sudden, an angel appears in front of Mary. She's a little teenage girl, and an angel is speaking to her. And the angel says, "You're highly favored. The Lord is with you." She's wondering, what kind of greeting might this be? Imagine yourself in her shoes right there. But the angel says to her this, "Mary, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God." The angel's communicating the heart of God, the Spirit of God, and he's saying to Mary, "You have found favor with God." God's favor is to you. In fact, if you're taking notes, write this down. It's the first line in your program. The Spirit is longing to communicate God's favor to you. Now, Mary, she's a godly woman. She's a good woman. But she was not a perfect woman. She was not sinless. She was in need of a Savior. And here the Spirit is speaking to her, saying, "God's favor is for you." Gabriel announced God's favor over her. And guess what? That announcement is for you today as well. God's favor is to you. You say, "Jared, I don't know. I don't think I'm favored by God. I mean, if you knew what I've gone through, you knew the sin in my life, you knew the ugly things I have done, you probably agree God's favor is not for me. But I want to tell you, God's favor is for you. In fact, you're here this morning, and that's an expression of God's favor. There's others that aren't here, but because you're here, you're in the presence of God's favor. God's favor is for you. Now, what you have to do is decide, what are you going to do with the favor of God? Will you receive it? Or will you reject it or deny it or ignore it? Say, no, God's favor is not for me. No, I want to tell you God's favor is for you. God's just like God's favor was for Mary. Guess who else God's favor was declared over? The shepherds. Now, the shepherds weren't perfect by any means. They were the carnival workers of the day. I mean, they were a rough and tumble group of guys that just kind of, hung out with the sheep. They were not invited to any black tie affairs. I'll tell you that much. They were rough guys. And yet, at the birth of Christ, the heavens erupted and the angels declare God's favor over them. And I want to tell you today, God's favor is for you. So will you receive it today? Will you receive of God's favor? Will you walk in it? Because how you understand the favor of God will impact how you live your life. It will. See, if you see God as one who doesn't extend any favor to you, you'll probably see him as one who's looking to find where you're wrong and will zapping you at any opportunity he has. You know, just kind of, he's mad at you and he wants to straighten you up. And if that's your view of God, then you'll miss his favor and you'll miss your divine potential. But if you view God as one who favors you, you'll walk in his favor. You'll experience his blessing in your life. You'll realize that God can do something through you that is beyond your abilities. You'll resonate with Romans 8:31 that says, if God's for us, who can be against us? So the Spirit desires to communicate God's favor to us. He goes on, look at verse 31. Speaking to Mary, Mary, you will conceive and give birth to a son. His name, are you to call him Jesus? He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Just pause right there. I want to come back to the end of this verse, but just pause right there. His kingdom will never end. Mary is given God's divine purpose for her life in this moment. He says to her in this dramatic encounter with an angel speaking God's favor over her, he says, listen, I want to show you your divine purpose, your high calling. And the high calling you have will impact the lives of the whole world, Mary. Mary's thinking, whoa, the Savior of the world? In me? I mean, every little Jewish girl, in one way or another, could kind of imagine themselves maybe being the one who would birth the Messiah into the world. But Mary's saying, me? Me? I'm 13 years old. I'm not married. I don't know. But it was her divine purpose. God's high calling. Now listen. God has a high calling for you. You probably won't have the benefit of an angel showing up in your room saying, this is exactly what I want for your life. But you do have a purpose. Because God's created you for a purpose. He didn't create you to be a consumer, but a producer, to produce something for his kingdom. He didn't create you to be selfish and self-centered, but to think and serve others first. He wants you to go from me thinking to we thinking. That's when you flip the M. You know, you start with the big capital M. It's me, me, me. You flip that over and it becomes we. You know, hey, what can I do for others? And if you don't live the we lifestyle, you'll miss God's purpose for your life. Listen, Mary, all of a sudden, her life may have been all about herself. She was thinking about getting married. She was thinking about starting a family. And all of a sudden, the angel shows up and says, Mary, I have a divine purpose for you. You are going to carry the Messiah. And through you, the Messiah will be born and will be a gift to the world. I want to tell you today that God has a divine purpose for you, that you will be a carrier of the Messiah, that the Spirit of Christ can live within you. And through you, you're to share that gift with the world. It begins with understanding that God's favor is over you and that God desires for you to be a vessel through which his love is shared. I want to show you a picture. This picture is one that went viral online. You probably saw it. Here it is. Anyone see that picture over the last 2 weeks? It's a boy named Devontae Hart. He was standing on the street at a Ferguson rally, and he had a sign that said, free hugs, in a environment where there was anger and hurt and pain and everyone is mad at one another, here he stood trying to give some love away. And the sergeant comes along and says, "Is that offer for me? Would you extend that to me?" And he put down his sign and they embraced, and this portrait was captured and went viral online. And hearts were warmed, and maybe some healing took place, because folks, this is what our nation needs. People to share the love with one another, to think about others. It's what, like what Martin Luther King Jr. says, one of the life's most persistent and urgent questions that you'll ever have is, what are you going to do for others? Mary realized in her divine moment with the angel Gabriel that she was going to carry the Messiah as a gift to the world. What about you? How are you going to share the love that is here with others around you? So not only does the Spirit long to communicate God's favor to you, the Spirit desires to spiritually form Christ in your life. It begins with the Spirit forming Christ in your life. Now, I need you to put on your spiritual thinking cap for this one. I want you to think a little bit on a spiritual sense, okay? You with me on this? Because Mary literally lived. She physically existed. She was a virgin, and Christ was conceived within her by the Holy Spirit, and she carried this infant Christ within her for 9 months. And in her, Christ was formed. God knit him together in her womb until the day when she gave birth. It's what literally happened. Her picture of a woman carrying the Messiah, giving birth to a Messiah, is also a prophetic picture for each of us. It's a spiritual picture for all of us today, where Christ lives within us, but he needs to be formed within us as well. His character needs to take over our character. In fact, our character needs to be shaped by his character as we carry Christ in anticipation of sharing him with the world. Now, I mean, Jesus could have showed up in 100 different ways, right? I mean, there's so many different ways that Jesus could have made his advent into the earth. Right, the heavens could have split, a little stairway to heaven could have walked down, you know, guy sort of playing the guitar and he could have just walked down with angels singing. Could have happened that way. He could have been just plopped down in the wilderness somewhere and at a certain age just wander out from the wilderness into Jerusalem and just declared that he's here. It could have happened that way. But it didn't happen that way. It happened that Mary conceived Jesus and carried him in her womb. And he was formed within her. And so in every way, we can say to Jesus that he can understand, because in every way he was human. And in many ways we can relate with Mary, because although we're not Mary, we're not carrying the physical Savior within us, we all are carriers of Christ. We invite him into our life and we allow him to be formed within us. He begins to form within us, changing us into his likeness. It's the prayer of every pastor. It's the prayer of every disciple maker that's out there that says, listen, I'm praying that Christ would be formed in you. In fact, it's exactly what Paul prayed to the church in Galatia. Look at Galatians chapter 4. He says, my children, for whom I'm again in the pains of childbirth, until when, say it, until Christ is formed in you. He's saying, oh, I'm just in these pains right now because I see that you have the seed of Christ within you. You have the hope of the gospel within you, but he needs to be formed within you. You're a carrier of him. You need to mature in the presence of Christ. In some ways, you could say, hey, I'm just a FedEx driver here, you know? Turn to someone and say, hey, FedEx man, and give him a high five. You know, you're just like, hey, I'm not the package, but I'm a carrier of the package. I'm a deliverer of the package. And Christ needs to form within us. So the Spirit desires to spiritually form Christ in your life, and the Spirit desires to use you to share Christ with this world. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. What's this mystery? God's chosen to make known among the Gentiles, known among all people, what the glorious riches of this mystery. What is it? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Spirit of Christ in you. God desires to make this known among all, the glorious riches of Christ in you. Now think about Mary. Here you have Mary, 13, 14 years old. Gabriel comes and says, hey, guess what? You're going to give birth to the Messiah. His name's going to be Jesus, and you're going to carry him. And she says, ah, there's a problem. Do you understand? There's an issue here. There's something not right. Psst, Gabriel, I'm a virgin. I can't carry a baby right now. I mean, it's just not possible. I'm old enough to know enough about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees that this isn't right. Something's not right here. I can't do this. I can't be the one. I'm a virgin. My wife was with Nathan, our youngest kid. He's seven. And they're driving, they're thinking about Christmas. I'm sure he was thinking about presents, but eventually he started thinking about Jesus. And he said to my wife, he said, hey, mom, I was thinking about Jesus, and if his mom was Mary, why wasn't she married to God? And my wife's like, you know? And so we had to kind of wade through some theology there with him. But he's thinking in his little seven-year-old mind, scandal! Scandal! What? And Mary's thinking the same thing. Scandal! It's impossible! You want me to carry the Messiah? I can't do it. I'm a virgin. But I want to tell you that God's not limited by who you are today. He wasn't limited by who Mary was, and you finding your divine purpose. God's not limited by who you are today, because with God all things are possible. You know, God's not limited by your limitations. He's not boxed in by your burdens. He's not shortened, his arm's not shortened by your shortcomings. God is all powerful. He can do all things. Now, the interesting thing is that God has this high calling, this divine purpose for your life to be a carrier of Christ, and he is not limited by the fact that you're not perfect. So what's stopping you? What's stopping you from living out the fullness of what God has for your life? With Christ, all things are possible. And I want to tell you, the answer to that is not found in your own strength. It's found with what you're carrying inside of you, the Spirit of Christ. God's reality can be made known regardless of where you're at. Mary asks an interesting question. She asks the question, not if he's powerful enough to do it. And we don't ask that question either. We agree. A lot of you are nodding your head. Oh, yeah, God can do all things. He's so powerful. But we ask the same question that Mary asked. How? How is this going to happen? How could that possibly happen? And I want to tell you the answer that Mary got is the same answer that we need today in our own lives. Gabriel says, the power of the Most High, he will overshadow you. So the Spirit is within you, but he will also overshadow you. The idea of this Greek word overshadow literally means to be consumed by. I don't know if you've ever been on a hike and you've hiked up into the mountains and you're high up in the mountains and it's a clear day and all of a sudden clouds start rolling in and you find yourself, one, watching the clouds and then all of a sudden inside the cloud. It's the idea of overshadowing, consumed by. It's where you give up your own desires. It's no longer what you want to do, but you begin to pray, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I want to tell you that a lot of Christians pray for Christ to be formed within them, but they stop short of inviting the Spirit to overwhelm them, to overshadow them, to give themselves completely over to the work of God. But when you do that, God's Spirit is unleashed to do the unexpected in your life. And that's exactly what happened with Mary. I mean, imagine Mary sitting with her friends, you know, saying, hey, I want you to know, listen, I'm pregnant with the Savior of the world. I'm a virgin, but hey, you know, I got the Savior within me. Her friends were like, Mary, what are you talking about? You're crazy. Are you from Colorado? You smoking a little marijuana? What's wrong with you? Just kidding. That was a bad joke, right? You know who you are? It's like Billy Graham when he was a middle schooler. Imagine him, little farm boy, telling his friends, hey guys, guess what? Someday before I die, I'm going to personally pray with 12 different presidents of the United States. Billy Graham's friends would be like, what? You? Do you know your limitations? I want to tell you that Mary and Billy and you and I can see our divine purpose when we allow the Spirit of God to overshadow us, could be consumed by him. And it's in those moments when the power of God shows up. Billy Graham's one who lived that out in his life. It's hard to believe, but God did the unexpected through him. God did the unexpected through Mary. And God can do the unexpected through you and I. Do you believe it? Do you believe that today? That God can use you to be a carrier of the message, the hope, the good news, the purpose, the divine calling of Christ into this world. Gabriel looks at Mary one last time, and in verse 37, he reminds her, after she begins to wrestle with where she's at and what God's calling her to do and the distance between those two, and just, oh man, the shocking nature of this message. And he says to her, listen, no word from God will ever fail. Some of you need that message today. No word from God will ever fail. Lean in to who God is. Mary's response is awesome. She says, I'm the Lord's servant. Here I am. Open arms. May your word to me be fulfilled. Now she, in that life-changing moment, was radically changed because of her encounter with the Spirit of God. But I want to tell you, when she encountered the Spirit of God, her life was radically changed. Things as usual no longer happened. She was on a new direction. Everything changed in her own heart and in her life. She couldn't go on doing what she wanted to do. She had to allow herself to be completely caught up in the leadership, the ownership, the direction, the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. And when you get to that place, folks, you see that God opens doors and possibilities for your life, but you only get there when you surrender yourself entirely to God. See, so many Christians, they want to see Jesus as Santa Claus and Christmas as Christianity. so they can wake up in the morning and see a nice tree and have all the presents for me. They're all for me. But that's not the message of the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is saying, hey, it's not about you. It's about others. You carry me within you to share with others. Love is here, but love is to go there. And there's some who live by their doubts and their failures and what others think or what's most comfortable. But there's some. There are some who live by what God says. And they pray, Lord, your will, your word be fulfilled. We want to carry the truth where the truth carries us, don't we? Is that where we want to go? Be carriers of Christ so we can be messengers of his love. And so today I want to ask you today, how do you respond to the Spirit of Christ? The Spirit that wants to live within you, to be formed within you, for your character to be shaped by his presence, to overshadow you and to use you as a messenger to the world. Some of you are so centered, you're so plugged in that you can't wait for the opportunity to bring Christ to the world. The card of an invitation is burning in your hand. You want to share it with others. You want to share God's love with others. But for some of you, it's a challenge to even think about anyone other than yourself. So I want to tell you today, Christ is thinking of you. He favors you. He wants to be formed within you so that you can be a messenger of his will and so that you can be a gift to the world. That's my prayer for you. Would you pray or stand and let me pray for you today? Lord, we bow our heads before you right now and we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you care deeply for us. We thank you that you know us personally. God, that we are ones that are experiencing your favor even now. And Lord, we want to experience more and more of your Spirit within us. We know that you are alive within all of those that are followers of you. But God, we want more of you in our life. But I believe, God, that there's some here today that I'm speaking to right now that don't have a certainty that you are alive within them. If they were to be honest, they don't know if they have a relationship with you. In fact, they feel distant from you instead of close to you. And if that's you here today, I want to invite you into relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to give you the opportunity to experience the Spirit of Christ within you. Not just the Christmas spirit this time of year that might bring a bit of peace into your life, a bit of joy for a season, but lasting peace that comes through the presence of Christ in your life. And so if you're here this morning and you want to experience the presence of Christ, if you want to receive Jesus Christ, make a first-time commitment or a recommitment of your life to Christ, I just want to invite you right now, would you just raise up your hand? Say, that's me. I want to commit or recommit my life to Jesus. Just lift up your hand right now. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, good, I see you back there. Is there anyone else this morning right here? Good. God bless you. He's got a great plan for your life in the back over there. There's many here this morning that are saying, Jesus, I want to receive your presence. I want to know forgiveness. I want the hope that you offer. In fact, if you raised your hand, just pray this prayer. It goes like this, dear Jesus, I admit that I have sinned. I ask for your forgiveness for my sins. Please come into my life. Become my Lord and Savior. And right here today, I commit myself to you. God, we thank you for the work that you're doing right now in the hearts and lives of the individuals that have raised their hands, others that have just prayed that prayer. And God, we believe that you want to do a new thing within us. I want to ask a second question this morning, and this is for those of you that are believers to get real serious with me for a moment. Just tune out every distraction and think about the presence of God. Think about the person of Jesus. I want to ask you, are you willing to seriously say that you want to be a carrier of Christ so that you can be a gift to this world. That somehow through your life that you would share the good news of Jesus Christ, the hope that you have. In the unique network that you have, the connections that you have, that you wouldn't just receive of the love that is here, but you would share that love with others through simple actions, through kind words, through personal invitations. If that's you here this morning, would you just raise up your hand and let me pray for you? Lord, I pray for hands raised all throughout this room that right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would give us the strength, the courage to not only know that we have an assurance of your presence within us, but to recognize that through you within us, we can be a gift to this world. Bless each person. Help us to live that out. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.